It's time for Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell and Collins. If you have a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now at 252-222-4848.
Our guest is Cecil Harvell from Harvell and Collins on the phone with us this morning. Good morning, Cecil. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm wonderful. I guess Wes Collins is out on the high seas trying to hook into a big blue marlin, huh?
No, I know that he wished he was doing that, but he actually is heading to trial, another trial in Craven County this morning. And
okay.
So he's probably in the car listening.
All right. Well, safe travels to you, Wes.
Can you hear me okay, Mike?
Yeah, you're fine. You're coming in fine. I understand. Are we going to be talking about some terminology as it relates to estates, estate terminology?
Yeah.
Good.
Sometimes we just talk about so many different kinds of estate issues, but the terminology is in our conversations, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know that we've just had a program just dedicated to some of these words that just constantly bombard all of us. And just right out of the gate, let's just use the word executor.
Sure.
The executor, Mike, is the person who is appointed in a will to administer the estate. They are the person who is given the fiduciary duty to marshal together the assets, investigate where the assets might be, pay all of the bills, the legitimate expenses of the estate, deal with the creditors if there are any, and then, of course, distribute the assets per the terminology of the will.
Mm-hmm.
I think that what sometimes our folks get a bit confused is that they think that the executor might have some special right to the assets of the estate, and they absolutely do not.
Yeah.
I get this question often. Just because you're the executor does not mean that you have some sort of, you know, special, right to certain assets in the estate. You have to follow the terminology of the will. So that is an important, I think, point to make, that the executor is an administrator, a secretary, a doer. They are not, they cannot change any of the terminology in the last will and testament.
Well, let me ask you this question, and people may be having the same thought. Does an executor of an estate have to be a blood relation to the decedent or not? And do they get some sort of compensation? That's a two-part question.
They do not need, it is not required that they be related in any way, shape, or form to the decedent. They can be a friend, they can be a neighbor. Sometimes it is even a trust company. Of course, at certain times when there are no other folks, the lawyer
mm-hmm.
might serve as the executor if asked to do so by the decedent. So there doesn't have to be any relationship between a blood relationship. Many times there is. Of course, as we know,
mm-hmm.
people appoint their family members, but that's not required. And the another thing there, and then I'll talk about the compensation real quick, is that they do not have to live in the state of North Carolina. This again is an area where folks are very confused and think that, well, no, I can't appoint so and so, even though I'd like to, because they live, you know, in Virginia or up in Pennsylvania. You can live anywhere whatsoever and be the executor.
Okay. Anywhere around the world?
Yes, sir. Yes,
okay.
sir.
So
there is a requirement that you appoint as the executor. You sign an appointment that is clocked in the estate that gives a certain person in the estate the right to receive service of process for the estate. But other than that, you are able to serve as the executor.
Okay.
The compensation for the executor is the general rule is that the clerk of court will award up to 5% of the assets of the estate, but that excludes real property. That does not include the value of the real property.
And
that's the general rule on compensation.
And that up to
5% within the discretion of the clerk.
So
now the will can direct a certain compensation, and the clerk will consider that strongly. But if there is no direction in the will as to compensation, then the statute would apply, and the statute reads that it's to be up to 5%.
And does that come?
Now, another term that is the that really is the alternative to executor, let's talk about it real quick, mm-hmm. is administrator.
Yep.
And folks get confused about, well, why is this person called an administrator? An administrator, Michael, is the same duties, same responsibilities, everything that we've spoken about in terms of an executor. But an administrator is the person in charge of an estate where there was no last will and testament.
Ooh, okay.
If there is no last will and testament, then we have to find someone to administer that estate, and they're not called an executor, kind of a silly distinction, but a very legitimate one. They're not called an executor because they were not appointed so in a last will and testament. There is no last will and testament. The person has died without a will, and therefore the court will appoint an administrator.
You know, the responsibility that you just outlined for both the executor or the administrator, it sounds like it comes with a huge responsibility and could be a lot of heavy lifting. It isn't suitable for everybody to take on that task. Are they given forewarning that they have been appointed either an executor or, in the case of no will and last testament, will or last testament, the administrator? Or is it just all of a sudden dumped on them and say, hey, you know, we just opened up the will and guess what? You're the executor. Congratulations.
Well, it you know, that is a good question, Mike. And there's no, you know, right or wrong. I mean, many times decedents want to give a copy of their document to their executor. They will request at our office that we send their son or daughter a copy of their last will and testament. And yet other clients the very next day, the very next hour are, well, I'm going to keep everything private. That's the way I would like for it to be. And my family will know what my last will and testament happens to say when I'm no longer living.
Hmm.
So that's just something that can work either way. Sometimes people know, sometimes they do not know. There's no real advantage one way or the other with that, Mike, because things change so. And if someone knows that they're the executor, you know, 5 years ago, well, the assets 5 years ago might not be the same as they are right now. There would be different banks, different stocks,
sure,
different maybe even real property, different vehicles. So the executor will catch up very, very quickly, and or administrator.
Yep.
Now, another terminology, I mentioned without a will, and when you die without a will, it's called an intestacy.
Mm-hmm.
That's another term that we want to know about this morning. So intestate, or it's I-N-T-E-S-T-A-T-E. It's not interstate, it's intestate,
mm-hmm.
but intestate succession. And that just means that you have died without a will, and therefore we look to the statutes of North Carolina to guide us as to the distribution of the estate. Another term that gets thrown around a lot is the word probate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is probate? What in the world does that word really mean? We hear it almost every day, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, probate, I like to say, is the legitimate and legal changing of title to property when someone dies. Of course, Mike, we know that there has to be an orderly and legal process. I mean, if one has a $10,000 CD at a bank and it's in our name and we then die, well, where does the $10,000 go?
Right.
If there was not a legitimate legal process, and that is known as probate, then anyone could walk into the bank and say, I would like to have my daddy's $10,000 CD,
mm-hmm.
or my cousin or my brother or my sister, whoever the CD belonged to. So there is this process, and the process is known as probate, and it is the legitimate changing of the title of that CD, the automobile, the home, the land, the stock, the bond, whatever assets there happen to be in the estate, there has to be the change of title. Cars are changed at DMV. Property land is changed at the register of deeds. Stock accounts are changed at the registration with either the stock company individually, personally, or, you know, the stock company, or with a broker if there happens to be a broker or an investment advisor involved in the account. The bank changes the titles to the bank accounts, to the CDs, to anything that would happen to be located at the bank. So this process, this legal changing of title of property when one of us dies, is known as probate. And the word that the cousin to probate is letters testamentary or / letters of administration. And I like to call this the permission slip. This is the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
Letters of administration, letters testamentary. I know many of our listeners are saying, oh, yes, I know about that.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told that I need letters testamentary. I remember that. That's what I had to get when my mom died.
Right.
Well, letters testamentary, Mike, is the permission slip that you take to the bank to change the title to the CD. You take it to the DMV. You take it to, or it's already on record at the courthouse, but the register of deeds. So, and trust me, these places, okay, register of deeds, DMV, banks, stock companies, they know all about a letters testamentary, letters of administration. And they are on the other end of the phone or at the other end of the meeting that you're having at a bank or with a stock company, investment advisor, asking for, well, we will need to see the letters testamentary, because that's what gives the authority to the executor and or the administrator to begin the process of changing that title to the beneficiary.
Well, you referred to the letter of administrations as the permit slip. Who is giving permission for that person to then walk to the bank and say, please transfer my
the clerk of court.
The clerk of court. Okay. So it emanates from the clerk of court. Okay.
So you make application to open the estate, and after that has been reviewed and approved according to the statutes of North Carolina, the clerk of superior court grants a letters testamentary to the executor or a letters of administration to the administrator. That then establishes, Mike, as one can say, accountability. There is now this accountability between the superior court and the administrator executor. And if the administrator executor does not comply with the law, does not file the appropriate inventory, does anything outside the scope of the law relative to the settlement of the estate, the superior court has jurisdiction and all of its remedies. They can arrest the executor, put the executor mm-hmm. in jail.
Wow.
They can summon the executor to a hearing, a show cause. All of the authority of the superior court is applicable in an estate, because there is the accountability between the executor and the superior court.
Huge responsibility. Let's stop on that point, because I have some questions I'd like to ask you when we come back after this break. We're talking with Cecil Harvell from Harvell and Collins. And if you have questions, you can call us now, 252-222-4848, or after the show, call Cecil Harvell at Harvell and Collins, 252-726-9050, or go online to harvellandcollins.com. We'll take a short break here, and we'll come back into our topic of Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell. Welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell from Harvell and Collins. And again, if you'd like to reach out to the firm after the show, call 252-726-9050. Go online to harvellandcollins.com. We're talking about some of the commonly used terminology in legal proceedings. And oftentimes when you unpack these definitions, it raises more questions. just it seems like a responsibility of someone who becomes involved in one's will. There's a lot of heavy lifting. How much of that could be put back on an attorney on a law firm such as Harvell and Collins if you were working with them prior to the decedent dying? I mean, does it make it any easier on the executors or the administrators if they already were working with Harvell and Collins?
Well, an estate, Mike, just comes in, every shape and size. First of all, there's a huge distinction between an estate between spouses, where everything is joint as between spouses,
mm-hmm.
And an estate where we have what we call the second to die, where the assets are passing now. There is no surviving spouse. They have already died.
Sure.
All the assets went to mom, and now mom has left us, and everything is passing to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a huge distinction right there.
Yep.
Of course, there's, the size and the nature of the estate. There is, is there an ongoing business? Is there an LLC? Is there a corporation? The list is really kind of endless of any one or two things that can change an estate from, a pretty simple thing to maybe something that needs the assistance of a lawyer. We, of course, meet with many clients during a consultation and determine whether or not we need to be involved. And many times, Michael, in the course of a week, a good third of the time, maybe even as much as 40% of the time, we are not we want to tell the client that we're here if you need us,
mm-hmm.
but we really think that you will be able to handle this. So there are many files that we do not become the attorney of record. And then yet there are many files where we are the attorney of record. And so I'm hoping I'm making sense
yep.
here, but that's just
okay.
an analysis that has to happen at the very beginning of the file. It can turn on a lot of factors. Sometimes just even when I mentioned between two spouses, maybe there's not but so much work to do in that kind of file, but the surviving wife is, very elderly and just simply isn't up to the task. Of doing even the basics of the file, going to DMV and changing the vehicle
right.
over into her name. And so there are files like that where even though the executor could do the lifting, they just, for whatever reason, choose not to do the lifting and engage a law firm to help them. So it just depends on all of the circumstances, all lawyers, or certainly the ones that I know and reputable ones, and certainly the ones here at Harvell and Collins, we charge on hourly rate. That's another misnomer that there's a percentage. There is no percentage usually that a lawyer charges. That's when you are the executor.
Mm-hmm.
That's a different situation than when you are just simply assisting as the lawyer for the executor. You just keep up with your time. Maybe it's an hour or two. Maybe it's 20, 30, 50 hours. It depends on the nature of the estate.
I guess that's.
But it would be handled on an hourly rate.
Yeah, and I guess that's how some people paint probate as a dirty word, but I've heard Wes Collins say probate is cheap in North Carolina. It's not.
It really is. We are. Our clerk of court here in Carteret is just astonishing and amazing and wonderful, and so Craven, Onslow, New Hanover, I mean all of them, Jones, Beaufort County, we're in all of those counties, and we are just so impressed with the clerks of court. For instance, Mike, here's some practical things. We will send over an application to admit a will to probate and to issue letters testamentary, the permission slip that
mm-hmm.
I spoke about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We may send that over on a Monday or Tuesday. We may very well have that back by the end of the week.
Wow.
Certainly within a week, if there are any questions, the clerk will call the office and ask those questions, and we will do a follow-up, but that will be handled very promptly. Now, in a state like New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Illinois, it can take 2 or 3 months
wow.
to to get a letters testamentary, even though all the paperwork is in order. It's just a matter of, as we can imagine, those places are highly populated, and of course, the process is just much, much slower. Also in states like Pennsylvania, Michigan, Illinois, there is a sliding fee of local cost to probate the estate. So they look at the assets almost like a tax.
Yeah.
So you have the federal tax, you have the state of Illinois, state of Michigan tax, if there is any, and then you have this local clerk of court tax. North Carolina does not have that sliding scale local tax. There is a state of North Carolina fee on an estate, but that maxes out in our state. That maxes out in our state at $6,000.
Mm-hmm.
So absolutely, we are a friendly probate state, and the process can go very, very smoothly and very efficiently. And that's just not the case in these states where all this these articles have been written about, quote, how to avoid probate.
Yeah, well, that's a good point to put out there and reinforce the message that probate is affordable and fair in North Carolina. Let's hold that thought. We'll come back with our final segment of Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. And again, if you'd like to reach out to the law firm, call 252-726-9050 or go online to harvellandcollins.com. We'll be back and continue and conclude our conversation with Cecil Harvell after this quick break. Don't go anywhere. And welcome back to Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell from Harvell and Collins. And a good topic today. A lot of those terms we think we know about, but until you define them.
So, Michael, let's review in the last few minutes here. I think we've done a real good job. We've defined executor.
Mm-hmm.
We've defined administrator. We've defined intestate. We've defined probate. We've defined letters testamentary, letters of administration. These really are some of the very most common terms that are thrown around, you know, on a daily basis in the area, in this particular area of law.
Yeah, I think you point out too the letters of administration, the permission slips. We all know what those are from our school days, emanate from the clerk of the court's office, and then from there you go to the respective agencies or institutions to transfer the assets legally, and also kind of demystify the term probate as it relates to us here in North Carolina. Those are my takeaways from this very very informative conversation today.
Exactly. Yeah. Very good.
Very good.
It's a very orderly, very understandable process. And you know, if you need a lawyer to dot an I or cross a T, then good.
Yeah.
If you just have a question or two, that's good too. Again, it's just going to depend on, you know, the shape and size of the estate. Just like so many other things in our good lives.
Yeah, and I guess the key too is plan early and estate planning. And one of those ways is to contact Harvell and Collins and get your estate organized for that time. We don't get out of this life alive. That's one thing we know is certain, Cecil. And we appreciate you coming on and unpacking some of these terms and terminology here for us this morning on Let's Talk Legal. Thanks, Cecil.